All right, let's get started this morning. I had another lesson prepared, but just had some inspiration that I wanted to go over with you guys. I want to read first Luke 9 and verse 16, but I want to read out of the Message translation. First, it says, "No procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day." So with that in mind of no procrastination, no looking backwards, not putting things off, seizing the day, my first question is, how many of you liked the results of last night? It's not a trick question. So yeah, it's very good results. It's great to have visitors. It's wonderful to have them respond to the altar call. It's even better when they stick around afterward and you see people making good contact with those guests and people that prayed. So, with that in mind, Pastor Greg teaches us to analyze things, right? We need to take certain things into consideration. We need to examine things. We need to ask questions of life, right? A lot of life, I think it was Phil last week asked a question, and Pastor Greg said, a lot of life is cause and effect. The most basic part of it, here's the effects or the results. What caused that? What produced that? Good or bad, we should be analyzing things. And oftentimes we can analyze things when things aren't working, when things aren't going well, when it's not what we have been praying for, contending for, or wanting to see. But a mistake that a lot of men make, a lot of pastors make, disciples make, is they analyze the negative results, they never analyze the positive ones. Just kind of like, hey, it happened. All right, awesome. And move forward with life. Maybe there are some lessons in the wins that we can draw from. And that's what I want to teach you this morning is not only do we look at the negatives, we have sat at this table and talked about dominion in a response to barrenness. We've talked about contending for breakthroughs and in the lack or in the dry or when something didn't work, but we should also analyze when things do work. So my question is, why did last night work so well? And I want to see your thoughts. What about it worked well? Yeah, David? Okay, so what's a word that describes that?
Iconic.
Iconic, exactly. So number one, when you do things that are iconic, have you noticed, let's put it this way, when we do things that are iconic, that the attendance of visitors just goes up? So one of the things Pastor Greg teaches us is to crack the culture of your community or of your area. Find out what works. Figure out what works. I would say in anything we've ever done that is iconic, we always have a surplus of visitors. So yes, absolutely. It was iconic. What about the iconic aspect of it worked so well last night? Take it a step further, yeah?
I think of two things.
There's, okay.
The season, the holiday season that you're capitalizing on, and also the family aspect of it.
Children, absolutely.
And families.
Yes, very good. So, number one, doing a Christmas carol at Christmas time. That's iconic for the season, right? But again, some people, they don't think like that. Okay, so that's it. And then secondly, who is the target audience we want? What are the people groups we are striving to reach? Yes, people with families. young families. Why? Why is that our target audience? John.
The next generation, the people that, you know, people need it. People need salvation.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Generally, when people are younger, they're more moldable.
Okay.
You can instill things a lot. Their hearts are softer and then as calloused, you could say.
Okay, yeah. Is they're more willing to respond or make a change in life, right? Is they're learning things, they're dealing with things, they're going through things in this new chapter of young families, and so they're more willing to respond, more willing to make a change in their life. Absolutely. Yeah, so those are, anybody can be saved, and everyone needs to be saved. But this was a target audience for younger families. Let's think of the haunted house. What's the target audience there? Yeah, Micah? Okay, a younger, more radical group, maybe a single, right? And yes, in the groups that we had all go through, who were the ones that were responding the most? It was a younger crowd, you know, teens, young adults that were responding. So you have to unpack that. You have to ask that. So in that launch right there, iconic was one of the reasons it worked so well. Why else? Yeah, Ayel?
The show was believable, was done good.
Okay, so that's a little, the show was believable and done good. I call that, we delivered on the promise, right? We made a promise to potential guests. We made a promise to every visitor that received, you are going to witness puppets and the story of the Christmas Carol. And with the set and the lights and the screens and the atmosphere and the ambiance of everything that was going on, we delivered on our promise. The number one reason businesses lose customers is false advertisement. You advertise something that is false, and they say, I'll never go back again. I'll never be interested again. I don't want to go there again, etc. You lose customers. And then those customers or guests for us, they tell their family, they tell their friends, oh, I went. It was not that. It was, you know, fill in the blank, whatever, right? So when you deliver on the promise, we told them, we gave them an expectation. You realize every flyer is an expectation. This is what I'm expecting to see, have happen, etc. So you give an expectation, you've got to deliver on that. And that's what we did. Yes, very good. We delivered on the promise. And that is very important. There's a reason why when I see productions that are being happening, there's a reason I find time to get there, because I refuse to put on a poor production, right? And that's just maybe a personal preference, but it's an excellence that was taught by my pastor. We are gonna do this, and we are gonna do it well. We are not going to do it halfway, and we are not going to present something that doesn't have a degree of excellence, that because we will hurt ourselves. Why have a beautiful building and a crappy show? That's not okay, right? So that's a very important part. And that actually, you're considering the audience. You're considering that guest. You're putting them above your preferences. You're putting them above, well, this is good enough, right? You're putting them above whatever it is that would cause you to not deliver on that promise. Good. Very good. What else? Yeah, Brandon?
Unity.
Unity, yes.
Together with the same goal.
Absolutely, yes. Unity. And unity with a common vision, a common goal, that changes dynamics. You had something?
The message was clear through the whole thing.
Okay, so let's we're going to touch on both of those. So let's start here with unity. Biblically, what does unity unlock?
An anointing.
Anointing, and where do we get that from?
From the Spirit of God.
Well, the scripture. A scripture.
Anointing flows down from the beard, like from the top down.
Okay. Yes, Psalms, right? How sweet it is when brethren dwell with one another in unity. It's like the oil. Oil is a picture of anointing that is poured on the head of Aaron and flows down. Anointing flows down when people are unified. So God was able to move through this because people are coming together. I want to encourage you men, when you are part of a production, when you are part of something that requires a lot of hands, if you will promote and encourage unity, you will help the overall picture.
Yes, amen.
You will always, if you can cultivate an atmosphere of peacemaker, if you can make peace in everything, that you are, it will change the entire dynamics. I still reference for my own personal experience when Pastor Greg shared with us at this table, talking about unity and working together. And, you know, when he was a disciple in a band, there was a drum throne that every drummer wanted, and he had gotten it early, and someone else took it, and he got into a big argument with the guy and got the drum throne, and he played on that drum throne. And his pastor said, "But you ruined the night. You got what you wanted, but you ruined the night." And you know what? That hit me because there had been things I had done in the concert ministry as a disciple in a band or however that looked, where, man, I probably have killed some anointing. I've killed some unity, and I did not want that to be my testimony. I did not want that to be, you know, I didn't want to contribute to the unsuccess or lack of success of a night. So that's absolutely important that we maintain unity, okay? And sometimes you will have to maybe even step in at times and just say, hey, we need to work this out. Like, we need to keep this rolling, right? This is not acceptable. Good. Okay, now Antonio brings up a message that was clear throughout the night. Help me understand what you're saying.
Like, because it was put on, obviously, by the church. So the message of the gospel was clear through the whole thing. So people knew from the beginning that it was based off of.
Yes. Okay. So two things there. And I put it in a category of three that Pastor Payne helped me put into words. Number one, you deliver on the promise. Number two, you introduce the subject matter. So right out the gate, we've got Charles Dickens. We've got, Ebenezer Scrooge coming in. We've got puppets, and there goes Mr. Humbug, right? It's all happening there. We're delivering on the promise. But then as the play goes, we've introduced the gospel. If I remember correctly, it was clearly introduced when the nephew comes in. That's the start of peppering in the gospel. By the time you get to the change of Scrooge, right? By that point, we have peppered throughout. It was a natural for Matt to, as Ebenezer, cry out to Jesus. And it didn't feel like, you know, Jesus all of a sudden. It was prepared, it was peppered, it was cultivated. So what did we do? Delivered on the promise, introduced the subject matter, and then we aimed for the heart. That is successful. That is an ingredient that will always work. Because what you do is you get your crowd involved. So as Tony's pointing out, right, is as we go through, that message builds to where then you have a supernatural dimension, which then, going back to Brandon, that anointing's flowing, and now, man, God just smiles on it. God just blesses it, and it's able to be effective. Okay, and that's what anointing is, divine effectiveness. What else worked? Yeah?
I noticed in prayer there were a lot of people praying.
I've seen concerts before concert and there wasn't as much people. So
yep. Absolutely. Absolutely it helped. Because what are you doing in prayer? You are establishing a presence, right? And that is something that I lean on our concert directors, because I'm taking note. This band, this group, this, and I'll say, you need to revisit with them. You need to talk to them. You need to deal with them, right? Whatever, to encourage prayer. It's not just a thing we do to fill some extra time. No, is the prayer room was full. People were contending. We even had visitors, two families, there for prayer. They were there early, you know, getting a good seat. And I watched them. I text Brian. I said, hey, we've got a number of visitors coming in. It's okay to stop a little earlier. I think we stopped, what, 6:20 or something like that. So 10 minutes earlier. You know, it's not like God's like, no, it's 6 to 6:30, you know. Okay, we felt it out. Brian did a very good job. He said, number one, he acknowledged the visitor. He said, if we could all stand, if you are a guest here for the play, you've come out early, we just want to say thank you. But we do have some words that I want to share with our cast and crew. So he's giving them an understanding. Instead of, all right, let's all stand, let's give God praise, you know, there was some tact there. That's good. That's good. So he does that and then tells the cast, thank you, expressing gratitude, appreciation. Let's pray for tonight. And I watched one of the visitors in the second or third row, the guy took off his hat, put it over his heart, bowed his head, right? And so, but there was already a reverence. There was already a dominion. And yes, you're absolutely right. That contributed to the night. Good. And of course, we weren't just praying that night. There had been prayer and so forth leading up, but that was the culture created. Yep.
In our Bible study, Dan McCarty challenged the youth to fast Saturday for the production, and a number of us fasted in prior to that event.
Very good. Yes. And so again, that's the spiritual preparation that leads ultimately to anointing. That's very encouraging to hear. Getting them, young folks involved and now they can see the results, right? Now you can highlight that. How many facets? You had part in that. You contributed to that. Excellent. Yep, David?
The altar call clearly connected the production to the message of the gospel.
Yes. Yes, and it flowed naturally, what we call it, organically, into the next thing, right? You have this nephew, you've watched the entire play, now preaching the gospel, and all of that comes together. But again, those are things that are thought through in advance. Those are things worked out in advance, okay? Good. What else worked? Yep, Tony?
The advertising.
Okay, and what about it?
There was vast amount of, a lot of people came from Facebook, from Winter Spectacular. And
yep.
Flyer from parking lots.
Yep, absolutely. How early did you have advertising out for this, Brian?
We started at least 4 weeks.
Yes, at least, I would say. I remember it was one of the first flyers that came out, right? So at a minimum, 4 weeks of advertisement plastered throughout our city, online advertisement, right? All of these different ways in which we do that. So look at the flyer, right? What about it drew people, right? Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was a very, very attractive flyer.
Okay, yes, absolutely. So number one, yes, it was an attractive flyer. It had a look, it had a feel, it had an appeal. Right? And then everything on that flyer happened in the night. That goes back to our delivering on the promise. The message on the flyer was clear. Right? If you consider, and we're going to do this in depth, I've got some books coming in that I'm going to give to everyone on this specific issue of advertising. But if you think of a flyer, and anything you're running, anything you're operating, right now you're a disciple, right? Right now you will make some flyers for something you're putting together, a healing service, a special concert, a block party, whatever it is. Think of your flyer as your elevator pitch. You have about 5 to 8 seconds to win over, quote unquote, an investor. Someone's going to be invested in your outreach. Invest their time. Invest their day, their afternoon, whatever that looks like, to be there for it. That's your elevator pitch. So what about, you should make that, you should be thinking about that when you're throwing it together. Don't bombard your flyers with wording, right? All kinds of words and, you know, all kinds of, you know, information, and it's overload. People don't want to look at all that. They just want to know, what is it, where is it, when is it? And that should be clear on the flyer. So yes, advertising, the look of it, the information on it. Number two, the timing of it. You gave people advanced notice. And then thirdly, again, the iconic draw, right? People can connect. Oh, yeah, A Christmas Carol. That looks like Scrooge, right? It immediately sells the idea. Good. What else worked about it?
Seems like the expectation as a whole, like just people involved in stuff, was really high too.
Okay, good. Yeah, and I think that comes back to some of the dynamics of unity, the spiritual investment. But yes, there was an expectation of faith, right? Tonight's going to be good. Tonight is going to be fruitful. So, is there anything else that occurs to you about what worked last night? Okay, David?
There were people ready to work the altar
too. Okay. Yeah. People attentive to that, absolutely. Yep, Skyler?
There was a very welcoming spirit. Like, there was a lot of visitors, and I saw a lot of people
Introducing
themselves. Like, I was able to welcome in a big family, and, you know, it adds to the whole aspect of...
Absolutely. And that was commented last night by numbers of guests. They said, man, I've never felt so welcomed somewhere. But that's having eyes for the visitor, eyes for the guest, and helping them feel welcomed. Yep.
I think the acting felt professional, but like everybody was very good.
Yes, again, going back to delivering on the promise. That's what that's tied to. Yep, Caleb?
So during the practices, like working out the kinks, you know, that didn't work, that needs to change. So like during the actual work up to it, thinking about what's working, what's not working.
Okay, good. So just wanna highlight that as he's bringing up a point. In the prep, you're figuring out what's effective, what's not effective. We should be very creative in everything we do. Creativity, one person put it this way, creativity equals problem solving. And that's what Caleb is talking about. In our problem solving, it made the presentation very creative. Right? So that's what you're doing. You're problem solving. Sometimes we think creativity, like you've got to be arts and crafts and, you know, some artistic or whatever. No, you're just problem solving, figuring out how to make it work. Good. That's Matt.
A number of other things that I could note is Brian chose specific people to do specific tasks in their ability and talents. He had certain people working on the soundtrack. He had certain people running costuming.
Yeah.
Certain people, Dennis Halverson, and building props, and it all came together for excellent props. And I know that's part of the delivering on the promise.
Yeah.
Costuming by Vanessa, but it just made that. It brought out the magic.
Yeah. So what do we call that? I'm going to interject there.
Standing under the drawers.
Yeah, standing under the drawers.
Also delivering on the promise of excellence.
Yeah, but by him making those decisions.
Oh, delegation.
There you go. It's delegation. Right? He delegated help. He gave people, ultimately, it's going to flow back to Brian. It's going to flow back. He's going to be overall responsible, but he delegated. You are in charge of. And in delegation, you allow people room to work. Things might need to be corrected or redirected, etc., but you give them liberty to be creative or problem solve things. Good. Is it?
There was a lot of support from our congregation. There were many people that came, and that helps, you know, that crowd draws a crowd and just helps that welcoming full environment.
Yeah.
So there's a very good thing there.
And why do you think there was church support? Yeah, Scott.
Because we know we want visitors, and if we have more support, maybe it would like help the visitors there.
No, not quite.
I think that the actual subject or topic was, I don't know how to say transgenerational. I don't know if that's an appropriate word, but it caters to kids with this whole puppet theme, and it's something that's been around since, what, 1862. So it connects all of the age groups, and it's more appealing to our church as a whole.
Okay, yeah, Ben?
I think, you know, like, because it's a production, so something different, it's not your normal 180.
Sure.
You want to go see something new, something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been talked about in the congregation already.
People, yeah.
The kids are telling the moms.
Yeah, so let's see here. Something else? Okay, so, Lem?
So I think
we're like hitting all around it.
You established as a recent of delivering on the promise. And so because of that,
okay,
people hear an event or something that's special.
Yeah.
And they say that's going to be good.
Okay, so that's one thing, yes, very, very hitting that mark, is when you successfully deliver on a promise. Right, over time now, a play, how many are expecting a good play?
Yeah.
I know I would be, right? In all of our haunted houses, we expect. So that does draw people, is this expectation, you know, it's different, it's out of the ordinary. I want to go because it's always something good. And this is, right, we're talking right now, but we're analyzing the good. I can go through every production we've done and why it worked well. But I'm just highlighting this one because I felt we needed to, okay? So if you've done a production in the past and you're feeling like, but we did that too. I know, that's why it worked, right? But we have to analyze it, okay? Yeah, Kenny?
People in this area generally like plays.
Okay.
I think, whether Christian or not,
sure. Yes and no. So, but we're talking about church support, right? So why was it supported more with church? Number one, because we know there's going to be a good production value. Number two?
A season, a Christmas season.
Well, I think, yes, you're, again, hitting right there, but it's that iconic aspect of this production, right? If we would have done, I don't know, something else, it might have not... You see what your people are interested in. And I think that's noteworthy. I think you should note that and think next year. I know that's hard, but we can think next year what would produce the same results all 3 weeks. Right? Yeah, Robert.
So I know that there's going to be a report this morning on the play last night, and I don't want to be sitting there and thinking, oh, I should have gone.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I missed out on it. It was great.
Right,
know,
right.
I missed out. So, yeah, I think that's kind of a part of the motivation,
sure.
too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Something along those lines. Just people have vision for people getting saved, and they want to be part of that.
So absolutely.
I support it if I'm not in it, but at least I'm supporting it. I have a part to play in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yep, Skylar?
And to add on to him, like, also, like, more people come to support, but there's more people praying, asking for God to... More people getting...
Sure, yeah, yeah. So all of those would be, you know, contributing factors. So the point of all of this, I want you to think. And I want you to learn how to think. And I want you to begin to do that, not just for special events. I think you got to apply this to everything we do. How do we be successful in all of these different aspects? And it's possible, even in our regular concerts. Think what is coming up. What is coming up that could be a theme? I know we've done a number of Christmas things, but what's coming up?
New Year's.
New Year's. What's after that? Valentine's Day. What's after that?
Easter,
St. Patrick's. Right? Just there's things that you can... It takes planning. It takes preparation. But if you can find some things that maybe are iconic in some way, then you can put in the work and see the same results. And so, okay, so that's the first thing. Now, with everything that happened last night, what is the next step? Yeah?
Following up.
On?
All the people who are saved.
Yes. Okay, now we've got to think about follow-up. again, a crippling dynamic for a lot of pastors and a lot of churches is we get this this lift, and then we celebrate, we do the announcement, you know, this morning, and then what? Right? So I saw a lot of people really connecting with our guests that responded last night. And there was a lot of people excited. I'm, you know, just handing out Christmas cards, and people are like, "Pastor, yeah, I talked to this person, or I prayed with this person, and they were so open," and that's awesome. Yes, thank God. Now what we're going to do is, yes, follow up. What else would be a next step?
Next step for what?
A next step for after the production. So post-production next steps. So he said follow-up, right? The people that prayed last night. So, I mean, just a quick show of hands. How many of you connected before the show? How many of you connected with a guest? Good. How many of you connected after the show with a guest and someone that responded? Okay, good. Good. Numbers of hands for both, right? So now, how many were able to get some contact information? Good. Very good. Okay, so we need to follow up. Then that's part of it. Give me some more ideas of follow up. What does that look like? Yeah?
People spend on getting together with the Cajuns, hoping they
can get
some coffee or something.
Yep. Okay.
Skylar and Andrew, if you think that's important with his
son. Yeah. Good. Yeah, so, okay, so connect with them, maybe get them out. What else could you? How else could you follow up on them?
Invite them again.
Invite them again, yes. And to what?
To church or the media
again. So what, yeah, and so what are some things coming up? Know your calendar. Know your schedule. What's next week?
Bluegrass Christmas.
What's Sunday morning?
Christmas story.
The Christmas story reading. What's Sunday night?
Children's
Christmas play. What's Wednesday night?
A Christmas carol after.
A Christmas carol after. Right? It's a play, right? So all of these things, these are now next opportunities. What else is coming up?
Men's rally conference.
Men's rally conference, yes. How about your home Bible study? Ah, yeah, you can get them to your house, right? So these are all opportunities. What's another form of follow-up we can do right now, this morning? What's that? We can pray for them. And that's what we're going to do. These are things, again, analyzing. We want fruit. We want there to be, you know, a return on investment. But it does take work before, during, and after. I'll tell you guys, you've heard Pastor Greg say, discipleship, church planting, revival, it's a lot of stinking work. And it is, but it's so worth it, right? Last night, that was worth it. That was worth the crazy scheduling that has been. Haunted House was worth the insane scheduling. All of these different things, right? Because it works and it's eternity. So let's pray for those guests that responded last night. To my memory, maybe someone else has an accurate count, I counted up 14 in my memory.
Okay.
From what I saw going up. 14 people responding. So let's lift them up in prayer right now, that God is going to give a strategy with them, that God is going to remind them of that conviction moment last night, and God is going to draw them to future events, to church this morning. Hallelujah. Father God, right now, I lift up, Lord God, every soul that responded last night. Every person, God, these families, you are going to get a hold of their hearts. Draw them this morning into church. God, that you are going to get a hold of their hearts. God, that you are going to move in their lives, Lord Jesus. That there's going to be a supernatural dimension of the Holy Ghost tugging upon them, drawing them in Jesus' mighty name. I pray fruit that remains, abides, and endures, Father God. I claim John chapter 15, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, give our men, our couples, inspiration and wisdom, our teens, Lord God, to connect with those that got saved last night. A supernatural breakthrough. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Any questions on what we just discussed? Questions or something to ask? Yeah, Tony?
How would you promote unity?
Well, you have to bake it into your production. So one of the things I always do, and again, this is just personality. You don't have to do this. But it was something that was noted throughout my ministry, right? I'll start a practice with hype, right? Because it's exciting, you know? Sometimes we come in and they're stressed and they're tense and, you know, whatever it is I'm doing, I create a little, you know, hype melody and get the crowd going and we just, right? So what you're doing, you're creating camaraderie there. Then you talk about it. We're going to pray. We're going to start this practice with prayer. And one of the things we need to pray for is unity. And I'm reminding, because anointing flows through unity. Let's bear with one another. We're going to, that's the best parts of these big productions. We learn more about who we are, and we learn more about who people are. And so it's good. We're going to rub each other the wrong way. There's going to be some sandpaper, but we can work it out for the sake of souls. You talk about it. You set boundaries. What is acceptable, what's not acceptable. And you do it in an encouraging light. Right? You don't have to say, we will be unified. If you're not unified, then you could just leave. Right? There's a way to communicate the message and get the results you want. But you have to bake it into every practice, every rehearsal, every time you're coming together on it. Yep. And then you highlight things, right? There's different times in productions I've led that I've highlighted. We want to give it up for the makeup. Do we want to give it up for, you know, so-and-so built this, you know, all those different ways in which you're highlighting. And then you get people applauding for them. They're giving something. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are they giving? Their praise to someone. It sounds it's a funny word, but it is in essence just a praise. You're good on you, man. That's awesome. And so, but you're motivating that, and you're encouraging that, and people will become that for themselves. Yep. Create a culture.
So thank God in 180 we have a ton of people to help. In a smaller setting, in a smaller church, pioneer setting, you have this production, you have people getting saved. How do you connect with everybody? You know, there are times where you're trying to tear down, you're trying to, you know,
sure,
make sure everything is getting closed down.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that's a good question, which is, again, why we have the help. But then secondly, it's rare that you're going to be in a much smaller setting where you're a freight train like Prescott is, right? So there have been times where we just didn't have to clean up that night. We don't have a concert next week. We don't have 50 rehearsals coming up. We don't have a bluegrass Christmas next week. This was our event, right? So what you can do in those times is, and now we call the cast out, you do the curtain bow after the altar call, and now you can take pictures with the cast, you can meet them, and then you create an atmosphere to meet and greet, right? And you're following up and you're getting contacts, because we don't have to clean up tonight. We can do that next week because we don't have another event. So it's very rare. Again, we're a freight train. We've got Bluegrass Christmas coming up. Next week, there's going to be rehearsals in the week there at the building. So we have to, because we turn over quick. But that's not always the case. So, yeah, it's going to be less of a demand. Good. Good question. So that is a mistake. We can feel when you get out there, it's like, but then the gravity hits. It's like, oh, well, okay, we're not going to do that. But that's okay. You're seizing opportunities to. Good. All right. Are there questions? Yeah, Daniel.
So just back to promoting unity, do you have like recommendations and when somebody would come up with like maybe your bandmate or someone in your circle is maybe bad mouthing? You know, like you just, they're just throwing the things, little digs at people. It's a way to promote unity in situations.
Yeah, it depends. Like, I can't give you a formula, but sometimes maybe the leader should just, you know, have a quiet word, right? Hey, you know, some of the ways in which you're communicating with folks, it's just not helping keep the culture of unity, right? Or if it's, this person came and they talk, okay, yeah, no, I'm sorry to hear that. Have you spoken with them? No, I'm talking to you about it. Well, maybe just have a quiet word with them and you can encourage them to work it out, to iron it out a little bit, right? So different ways in which that can look. But again, when you're cultivating that, it doesn't mean you're ever going to have a perfect, trust me, you're not going to ever have a perfect 100% unity. Why? Because you're working with people. But you have to identify and know what is tolerable and what is lethal, right? There's going to be some sandpaper, but it's tolerable. That I don't have to address every little thing. Otherwise, you'll be addressing conflict and never creating a production, right? So it just, you got to figure out, no, that they can work that out. No, that's fixable. No, that's an easy fix. And you navigate it. Yep. But to give you a formula, I can't. It just depends. But if it's hurting other people or causing people to fall off or not want to participate, that's lethal. That's not tolerable. Good. Yep.
If you've ever recognized groups that are maybe putting together productions or someone who's doing things and they're not considering their target audience and they just, you know, doing what they like or what they enjoy or their unique own thing, how do you address that or how do you redirect that or get them to see that what they're doing or the ideas that they have are not necessarily as effective as they could be if they were to, you know, pivot or direct it towards their community?
Yeah, it just depends again on, again, if they don't know their target audience. If you do know your target audience, even if it's a niche group, it can still work, but you better reach that niche group, right? If you don't, you're going to have a very sad results, right? I had someone approach me about doing a theme night, and this is some years back, and at first I really wasn't into it. Number one, because it's a niche idea. I said, that's just, it's dated. I mean, it was awesome for its time, but it's dated. And then secondly, I just don't know if we can, how we can execute it. But I said, but I'll think about it, chewed on it, prayed about it, and then inspiration came. I figured out how to aim for the heart, number one. And then number two, we highlighted that niche group, and then we had, I don't remember, 15 to 20 visitors and like 12 saved. So it worked, even though it was niche, and even though I knew it was, it still had a success rate because we worked out those details. If you can iron out those details, I have no problem. But if it's just that, then you've got to figure out motivation. Is it more about you? Or is it about people, right? And those are conversations in which you can help them find that. Yep. So again, at the end of the day, we'll try anything, even if it is niche, but we better figure out the message and our target audience and get them in the building. That's the key. Yep. Yep. Good. Good, good. Because not everything will be as iconic. That's just life.
What would you recommend for how often to do a special event so people don't get burnt out?
Yeah, that's the beauty of what of our church is, there can be a lot of things going at once, right? And then again, I just want to say back a little bit to Caleb, his question, you know, seeing a production like last night, that was a very large cast, which the bigger your cast, the harder it is to get everybody there, right? I recently saw a Broadway level production that had a cast, full cast of 12 people. And it felt and looked and seemed full, but those 12 people knew every step and everything they were doing. It was a full cast of 12, and then they had their light tech, sound tech, that's it, right? And the director. So 15 people put on an incredible, ultimately an incredible show, right? I'm sure there was others besides the light and sound tech, but in the overall. So with that, you can execute things with a smaller group if you think in what I call and have coined simple excellence. If you do things, even if it's simple, if you do it excellent, it seems bigger. It seems grander than it actually is. And so you can do that. It's possible. Then the smaller the group, the more availability, the more you can get done. So we had one group, let's just take it by example. We had one group do Island Christmas that some of those were not involved in the next two weekends. We had folks involved this weekend that were not involved in the previous weekend that are not involved in the next weekend, right? Directly. Then next weekend, Bluegrass Christmas, they have people that are involved that have not been involved in the previous two. So, and those, because those are some smaller groups, you can spread it out a little bit more. So it's just, it's using some tact, using some wisdom. And now let's take it into a smaller church. Oftentimes, that is your one big event, right? So for us, like in Rochester, the Haunted House, well, we stopped, you know, our concerts at the beginning of October so we could build up. We just don't have the manpower to keep doing concerts until the week before, which Matt knows what that's like, right? Is it, yeah? And you've got to build it all out, but you have the hands and you have the help. It's still going to be stinking hard work, and then tear it down and be ready for a concert next Saturday. Okay, but we didn't have to do that. We could focus on Haunted House, have the production, tear down the next week, and then have a concert or plan for Christmas. One year we did our Haunted House for three nights in a row, saw an incredible turnout, and we already had planned. We were gonna use the same maze, take everything Halloween off, and turn it into Whoville. And we did a walk through Whoville. So we utilized both, right, and it was planned out, and it was great. And both were very effective and successful. So you find ways to utilize what you have without burnout. People that were involved in the Haunted House were excited to be involved in Whoville. So, you find ways to do that. Yep, strategy, planning, and working with what you have and who you have. Good. Good questions. All right, well, we'll stop there. Do appreciate the input and things for you guys to consider.